maybe we should throw pies. This is a good idea. Now, you big adults, if you could take out your outlines now. We're starting a new series. One other thing. Actually, two quick things. First of all, it's my daughter Grace's birthday. She might be watching online, so everybody wish my daughter Grace, my oldest daughter, my big daughter, Gracie girl, happy birthday. Love you. Love you, Gracie girl. It's her birthday today. And thank God for Amazon gift cards. You can send in the email. That's just wonderful. You ever done that? That's a great present. Just send an Amazon gift card to your kid through email. If they live someplace, you don't have to put it in the mail. Just send an Amazon. It's just great. It just works wonderful. And then second of all, thank you for praying for Pastor Terry and I. We had our little trip to the mountaintop. Now, actually, we went to New Orleans. And I heard from so many of you, oh, there's mountains in New Orleans. Well, there were on the train. We went over several hills. See, the whole mountaintop, what mountaintop means, it is very figurative. It's speaking about we're going to a place to talk to God, to hear from God. And I had so many people say, oh, what'd you do on your vacation? We didn't go on vacation. We worked. We worked the entire time. The little bit of fun we had was Terry walked to the Cafe Du Monde and got beignets and brought them back to the hotel. That was it. And they were, oh, they're so good. But I did not wear black because there's white powdered sugar and it gets everywhere. It's just a mess. But we really honed in on the trip down, the trip back. Got a lot done on the trip back on the train. But while we're there, we just go and we pray and we seek God and we have a whole list of things we want to do. Some natural things, setting calendars, things like that. But then other things that we just really seek God about and pray about where we're away, we're by ourselves. She's in the room, I'm in the lobby, I'm in the room, she's in the lobby, or we're both in the lobby, we're both in the room, and we just talk and we bounce things off each other and hear each other and talk to each other. And we got in some fights too, and that was fun. But you know, when you disagree, you know, it's okay to fight with your spouse as long as you fight fair. But when you get personal and you don't do that, you know. You gotta be able to argue and fight fair, and then you make up, and then that's fun. Okay. So, what we're doing now is we're starting a new series. It's going to be a three-week series leading up to Back to Church Week. And the whole purpose of this is to get you ready, me ready, us ready for Back to Church Weekend. Because next week we're going to have the invites, correct, Pastor Terry? We're going to be handing out invites for you to invite all your unchurched heathen friends. That's who I want. Yeah, I don't want little white churchy people. I want unsaved heathen friends, unchurched people. Don't pull people from other churches. I'm not after people from other churches. Man, leave them in their church. I want unchurched people. Bring unchurched people, people who need Jesus. Okay, and what we're talking about is the afterlife. How many of you ever watched the Oscars on television? All 18 hours of it, or however long it goes. The Oscars. And after the Oscars in Hollywood, anybody who goes to the Oscars, which I never have, but you go to the Oscars, they're famous for their after parties. You go to the after party for Vanity Fair, or the after party for this studio, or that studio, or this, you know, whatever, designer. Sometimes designers have after parties. Well, this is talking about the afterlife. Right now is the Oscars. This is life. But then there's going to be an afterlife, an after party. And we're talking about eternal realities today. And we're going to begin with some questions about life and death, heaven and hell, which are both real places. A lot of questions have come in about heaven and hell and have been asked. I've heard lots of questions over the years in ministry about heaven and hell. There's some very strong opinions by different theologians about these subjects. But with each one of our messages, we're going to have a few short questions up front, and then we'll delve in a little bit deeper with this. So here's my first question that you get from people about heaven and hell. Are there animals in heaven? Is my dog Fufu going to be in heaven with me? My dog Fufu died. Is Fufu going to be in heaven? Now, years ago, I dealt with this question as a young 20-something as a pastor, and I fumbled the question. Because I just dealt with it very literally. I was right out of Bible college, and I said, no, your dog dies, your dog's dead like a dog, it's dead. And dogs don't go to heaven or hell because they can't receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord, and your dog's dead, and that's just it. And I had shrieking people in church because they wanted Fufu, their dog, in heaven with them. And so here's the deal. I believe there is a precedent for there being animals in heaven because there were animals in the Garden of Eden, and heaven is, in a sense, Eden restored. There was sin in Eden. Adam and Eve were cast out, and heaven is a form of Eden restored. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Sin's been done away with. And I believe maybe the new Eden, the new heaven, will be populated by animals. And the Bible itself does not indicate there is life after death for animals, but maybe they serve their purpose on earth. But then the Bible also tells us, in Isaiah, you know, that the lion will lay down with the lamb. So that shows us that there will be animals in heaven as well. I believe if animals make us happier in heaven, surely there will be a place for them there. So maybe Fufu will be there with you. And maybe the Cubs will win the World Series every year in heaven. But here's my interpretation. Dogs go to heaven, cats go to purgatory. Okay? Last night I had cat lovers sitting in this section, and they went, they went nuts. I was like, holy smokes, what's the deal? But here's the thing is, if you're Roman Catholic and you believe in purgatory, which we don't because it's not in the Bible, but if you're Roman Catholic and believe in purgatory and cats go to purgatory, that means you can pray or give money to get them out. Okay, so what really differentiates between heaven and hell? Six basic views concerning the afterlife. Now, I preached something like this several months ago when we preached on eternity, but I kind of did some shifting, and we're looking at this from a different view. There are different worldviews. We should have a Christian biblical worldview. There's lots of worldviews out there. We're going to talk about some of them. And number one is, fill in this blank, life after death beliefs. The naturalist. That means when you die, you're done. You die, you're done, you're dead, your body goes to the ground, you turn to dust, and that's the end of you. You know? Because sometimes, someplace, years, millions of years ago, cells came together biologically and formed humans. There was a big bang, and all the particles hurtled out into the universe, and things formed and came into perfect symmetry, and then out of the goo came me and you. Do you feel better? Yeah, me too. You begin to create brain function. Some of us have evolved more than others. And now you have the ability to learn. And now you begin to conduct your life after you've reached this point. But one day you're going to decay and die, and then you're done. When you're dead, you're done. That's it. You lived and you died. That is the naturalist view, an untrue view. Number two is the reincarnation view. That is the ultimate recycling project. Or process. The ultimate recycling process. We met a gentleman on the train. He was very fascinating. And I'm going to talk more about him in the future. And I just love the guy. But he said, in my next life, I'd like to be a pastor. He said that to me probably three times over the days we were on the train. In my next life, I'd like to be a pastor. Of course, in this life, he's a millionaire. So in the next life, he wants to be the opposite of that and be a pastor. Okay? Because I want to help people. I'm thinking, gee, dude, you're a millionaire. You can help people right now. So they believe, the reincarnation view believes, when you're brought into this life, and then you'll take on various forms. In the next life, you're a kitty cat, or you're a butterfly, and you get stuck into a spider web, and then you're done. And you got to start over again. Okay? But there are multiple generations of you in reincarnation. Another one that's false. Okay? See, this goes along with things like astrology and horoscopes. Do you read your horoscopes every day? I mean, seriously? Are you a thinking adult? You believe in horoscopes? Got real quiet in here. I have some horoscope fans in here. Good. Well, I'll talk to you. Okay? Those are the people, too, that think, well, a cardinal showed up in my backyard, and that's Aunt Edna. No, it's not. It's a bird. It's not grandma. They're not sending you a signal. You don't get signals. They're in heaven or hell depending on what they did with Jesus. Sorry to burst your balloon. If they knew Jesus, they're in heaven, and guess what? They're having a good time. And they're watching you, and they're wanting to see you serve God and not looking at birds. Unless you like that kind of thing. Okay, number three. Boy, this is going over real big. Number three, cosmic destiny. I just see this stuff on Facebook. Oh, you're getting a sign, and it's a cosmic destiny. That's where you become one with the universe, and you get a new age kind of view of things. Terry and I met a new age type person this past week, and she was out there. She was a real new agey person, you know. I consult with a person and all this stuff, and she was very new agey, and she had this idea of a giant cosmic identity, and that we're all one with the universe. Once again, another false belief, but that's where you become one with the universe, and that one day you're going to be drawn into the massive cosmos, and you'll be one with the universe. Number four is the Christian belief, and that is faith in Jesus Christ is the key between heaven and hell. Faith is the key. It's where you put your faith. Are you putting your faith in yourself? That'll lead you to hell. You put your faith in Jesus, that'll lead you to heaven. Now, components of faith and how you process them determine your destiny. We here at Abiding Word hold to the values and teaching of the Bible. That is the basis for our faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number five, purgatory, the ultimate holding tank. Smells like a litter box. Purgatory. Non-biblical. This is a Roman Catholic belief system. That's where you have you go to a place. You didn't receive Jesus, so you're not in heaven because you didn't do enough good things. You're in a holding place, and your family can pay or pray you into heaven. That's what you do. That's how St. Peter's was built. They would walk around the countryside with a can and say, you drop money in, and as soon as the coins clank, this is from Martin Luther's works, as soon as the coins clank in the bottom of the can, your loved ones' souls will rise from purgatory. Well, I get a Greek word for that, bull. That's just a load of bull. It's not true. You can't pay him out, otherwise this building would be paid for, man. I'd guilt you guys into it, we'd pay the whole thing off. Well, that's not true. There's no such thing. Number six, universalist. That's where all roads lead to God. Now, this is a very popular one right now. There are even some Christians who are starting to ooze over into this. That's all roads lead to God. There's not one road to God. There are many paths to God. There are many roads to God because we're all going to end up being with God. It doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter whether you go to church. And if you do go to church, it doesn't matter what church you go to, because we're all going to be one with God. Here's the thing. We're in Sterling. We are sitting in Sterling, Illinois right now. We are in the city limits of Sterling. And there are many ways, there are many roads to get to Chicago. You can drive to Dixon. On Route 2, take a right at Galena at the McDonald's, go south over the bridge down to 7th Street, which is Route 38, take a left, and you can go to Chicago. That's Roosevelt Road when you get to Chicago. You can go to Rock Falls or Dixon, jump on I-88, pay lots of money, and get to Chicago. I used to say and do this, but the road's pretty good now. They've built it, rebuilt it, and they're rebuilding it again. And lots of barrels. Move the barrels! The road's fine. But that will take you to Chicago. You can go south on 40, Sterling to Rock Falls, out south, jump the I-80, go to Chicago. You can get on Route 2, go through Dixon, up through Grand Detour, up to Oregon, come to the second stoplight, take a right, that's Route 64, take that to Chicago, that is North Avenue near Wrigley Field. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, those are all different ways, different roads to get to Chicago from Sterling. But Jesus said there is only one way to get to God. He said, I am the way. Not me, Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one gets to the Father but by me. See, that's one of the sayings where Jesus was not tiptoeing through the tulips. He was not throwing rose petals and just saying, peace, world peace. We're all just one. No, we're not. You need to believe in Jesus to get to God. Okay? That's how you get there. And there are hybrids of all these, which people take. I'll take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of that, and it will just all be good. And we just believe lots of stuff. You need to lock down what you believe, folks. Oh, well, I just like to be open-minded. Folks, I've met some people who are so open-minded their brains have fallen out. Okay? Ecclesiastes 3 says this, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. Remember that series I did on eternity? Go back and watch it, man. It'll rock your world on eternity. God has placed that in your hearts. He has set eternity in your heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Our minds are finite. God is infinite. So here's some eternal realities. What can we learn or know? Number one, there is more to life than this life. This isn't just it. You know what? You might as well just get what you can out of this life, because when it's over with, it's over with. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you may die. Well, you know what, friend? Let me tell you something. If all you live for is the weekends and going to the bars and getting smashed, your life isn't going in a good direction. There is so much more to this life. I know, but that's what all my friends do. Well, your friends are schlebs, man. You need to get some new friends. If that's all your friends do, there's a better way. Jesus has a better way. There's more to life than this life. People largely believe that there's more to this than just this life. Life is meant to be lived on bigger terms than just this life, looking towards eternity. There is much more to eternity than what we just see and feel here and now. Hello? So, what were we made for? We were created to exist forever. We were created to exist forever. We will either exist eternally separated from God by sin or eternally with God through faith, forgiveness, and salvation. To be eternally separated from God is hell. To be eternally in union with Him is eternal life. Heaven and hell are real places of eternal existence. This is what we were made for, to know God, to have a living, vital relationship with Him. That is what He created you for, to have a living, vital relationship with Him, and so that you, this is the rehearsal. Where's Colin and Brandy? When's your rehearsal? Friday! This Friday? Oh, I guess I'll be there. They're getting married. Isn't that exciting? Colin and Brandy getting married. But we're going to have a rehearsal. What does that mean? In a rehearsal, a wedding rehearsal, you walk through the ceremony. And rehearsals I call managed mayhem. I cut up and we have fun because everybody's nervous enough. So on Friday night, we have fun. And then Saturday, their wedding's on Sunday, then we're business and we take care of business. We still have some fun there too. But the rehearsal is the walkthrough. That's what life is. We're in the walkthrough. For what? For heaven. Gifts, talents, and abilities that you hone, you craft here, God will have you doing in heaven. Think about that. We're to know Him and have a living, vital relationship with Him. Number two, our spirit and soul aren't disposable. You are a three-part being. We all know our body. We see it every day. We look in the mirror. I'm just doing things I've seen people do in the mirror. And we know our bodies, but that's temporal. One day your body's going to die, and you might be cremated, or they're going to put you in a pretty dress or a nice suit in a box. I've had guys say, well, they're not going to put me in a suit. Well, they can put you in a pink tutu. You're dead, dude. You don't have any say in it, unless you've prearranged. then you could give some direction. And people come by and pay their respects, and you drive the car out to the cemetery. They have a hole dug, and they drop the box down in there. The minister says a few appropriate words, prays, and we all come back to the church and eat. Potato salad, that's right. Man, some of you all need to learn this. I haven't told this in a while, have I? This is one of my oldest stories I tell. We all come back to church, eat potato salad. Why? I don't know. It's what we do. We're Americans. We eat potato salad at funerals. But you know what? Your body's gone. It will turn back to dust. Yeah, but I bought the really expensive vault. That's nice. You'll turn to dust maybe 10 years later. But it's earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Your body goes back to dust. What were we originally made from, our bodies? The dust of the ground. It's recycling. See, God recycles. Maybe he'll just throw you in the recycling bin or something. But that's your body. But where are you at? You died, but where are you at? I mean, your body is in the ground or cremated. Where are you at? Well, you're in heaven or hell, depending on what you did with Jesus. Your spirit and your soul are eternal. Your spirit is the real you. Your inner man, the hidden man of the heart. That's where God speaks to you. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the inner man. That is you, your seat of personality, the real you. Then you have a soulless realm, your mind, will, and emotions. You have a thinking apparatus. You have a will, a very strong will, some of us, and you have emotional realm as well. That's what you need to get under and get transformed to the Word of God. To start thinking on it, and you're not led by your emotions. Some of us are such emotional beings, that's all we're ever led by. Oh, that they said, oh, that's what they said. Nah, nah. I see some people on Facebook, and I'm like, my God, you're schizo. One day it's rainbows and butterflies, and the next day it's, I'm going to kill him. Oh, I love him so much. Oh, I'm going to kill him. Hide the guns and the knives, man. Your spirit and soul aren't disposable. That's why you need to come to know Jesus. The Spirit of God comes down to live on the inside of you. You need to renew your mind to the Word. Then your spirit and soul will drag your flesh along, and you'll be in church, and you'll go to Bible study. You'll learn. You'll grow. You'll succeed in life. Now, does that mean you won't have any problems? Heck no. We all have problems. We all have difficulties. We all have to face the death of loved ones. We all have to face financial problems and different things. But God is there through faith to help you overcome those things and succeed in life. Amen? All right, number three, we are eternal beings. Jesus said to Nicodemus, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. You won't go to hell. You'll have eternal life. You'll go to heaven. We are eternal beings. We're going to live forever one day in heaven and hell, depending on what we did with Jesus. Number four, we can't evade responsibility. We can't evade responsibility. We just can't. Well, Daddy was a Sunday school teacher. Mommy preached. No, God doesn't have grandkids. He has kids. You can't ride on Mommy and Daddy's coattails or your best friend. We can't evade it. Our lives, our actions, our beliefs, meaning what we do or don't do in this life will impact the next life. So start making some good decisions now. You made one today by coming to church. Make another one by not being ticked off at the pastor because I said something about cats. Everybody say, meow. Okay. Yeah, pretty good. Number five, we have been given a will. You decide every day how you're going to live this life. You use your will. You decide what you're going to have for breakfast, what you're going to wear, whether you're going to go to church or not. You have a choice to choose life or death. You can do things that will make people happy. You can do things that make people sad. You do things that you know are right. You do things that you know are wrong. We get to choose. God gave you a free will. But you know what? What it says in Deuteronomy is so cool. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, it says, Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. So God said, I've given you the choice between life, death, blessings, and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so you and your descendants might live. So this is like a multiple choice test. Do you choose A, life, or B, death? A, blessings, B, cursing. And then he gives you the answer. Wouldn't it be great if your teacher gave you the answer before the test? Now, some of you are going, no, then you wouldn't learn anything. Oh, be quiet. I'm talking to you about what you would really like here. God says, I set before you life, death, blessings, and cursing. Then he says, choose life. Choose life. I'm telling you, choose right. Choose blessing. Don't choose death. Don't choose cursings. Adam had a choice to make in the Garden of Eden. Jesus said, you can eat a fruit of the tree of all the trees in the garden, except for the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. It doesn't mean he would physically die, because when he bit it, he didn't drop over dead. But spiritually, he was separated from God. That's spiritual death. Why? Because he disobeyed. He had a relationship with God. That was his daddy. And he disobeyed God. He had a choice. He made the wrong choice. You? Let's make the right choice. Okay? Number six. As Christians, we know the decisions we make on earth determine our destiny beyond this life. The decisions you make right now are affecting your destiny. Moms and dads, if you have your kids come to church, will affect their destiny. If you have teenagers and you have them come to youth group, will affect their destiny. Well, they're old enough, they can make their own decision. If they live under your roof, you make the decision. We had a rule in our house. You live in this house, you're going to church. You live in this house, you're going to youth group. And you know what? They didn't fight it. Maybe so often they have a little skirmish, but they just lived. That was the rule. And that's how you lived. And that's how it was. Only time we gave them a pass was what? Was it prom and homecoming? Because then I would go chaperone. Okay, you're dancing. I leave a little room for Jesus. Come on. Come on. Meow. Okay. Jesus talked a lot about heaven and hell, okay? Why? Because he didn't want people to end up in hell. Hell is real. And many people's only perception of heaven and hell is from television, it's from movies, it's from the popular culture, it's from comic strips. If you're in heaven, you're floating on a cloud with a gown and a halo playing a harp. That's not what you're doing. That's not what you're doing in heaven, and you're not floating on a cloud. I mean, come on, it's a city. If you don't see heaven and hell for what they truly are, you will not respond appropriately in deciding what you want to do. When we as Christians will finally realize what hell really is, we will move heaven and earth and do whatever we can to keep people from going there. God the Father felt the same way. That's why he gave his son. I want to give you a challenge about hell. Let's insert personalities into the picture. Let's talk about a fictional person. I'll call her Aunt Edna. But we all have an Aunt Edna in our life. She might be a friend, a sibling, a mom, a dad, a coworker, a neighbor. It's somebody you know. We all know an Edna. And you would think, my God would not send a woman like Edna to hell. I'm not sure she received Jesus. I'm not sure she was born again. But she never hurt a flea. She never talked bad about people. She is a good person. And my God wouldn't do that. But you know what? Before she was your Aunt Edna, she was a little girl who grew up in the popular culture, hearing Christmas songs at Christmas time. She heard Away in a Manger. No crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. She sang those songs in the public schools when she was little. How do I know that? Because I did when I was little. They stopped soon after that. But some schools still do. Okay, so praise God for that. But these songs back then, they challenged her soul. And she grew up, and inside of her, there was just something saying, there has to be something more to this life than what I'm experiencing. She felt that nudge. That was the Holy Spirit. And then every year this thing called Easter would show up in April, sometimes late March. But people who don't go to church at Easter. They hear about the person she heard about at Christmas when she sang Away in the Manger. Then when she was older and got married, her and her husband would go camping and she'd be out in nature. And she would be away from the streetlights of the city and she would see the billions of stars in the sky. She would see the beautiful forests, the Niagara Falls, the Grand Canyon. And she would look at just the beauty of nature. And there's so much of it out there. And something inside of her would say, there has to be something more. Why? Because eternity was in her heart, just as it is in ours. Eternity would call out to her. All those months where I did the International Space Station thing, I put on Facebook, hey, we're watching the International Space Station, come to the church. The whole reason I did that, I had dozens of people going out on their porch with their kids and looking up and seeing it. Why did I do it? Because I wanted them to be interested in NASA, that much, because I'm interested in space travel and all that. But I wanted to get people doing this. You can't look at the International Space Station like this. Or like this. You have to do this. You have to lift your eyes. And when you lift your eyes and you see that star moving, which is the space station, you look at the other stars. And you'll see Mars and Saturn and Jupiter and Venus. And you'll see the heavens. And you lift your eyes. And when you lift your eyes, you lift your heart. And many times, eternity will speak to you. God will speak to you. There's got to be something more. You think there's a possibility something created all this, that it did not just happen. And as Edna grew older, she had done some things that she knew that were wrong. She had friends who talked about church to her, but she said, I'm not into that. And now as she gets older and elderly, she starts to have friends who die. And she would go to the funerals, and she would hear the preacher get up and talk about life and death and meeting God and heaven and hell and eternity. And you suddenly start to realize your own mortality. And as she sat there in that funeral home, there'd be a nudge down on the inside of her that would question eternity. And she just said, not my thing. Now, she never said no to God, but the hundreds and thousands of times that Jesus knocked on the door of her heart, as it says in Revelation chapter 3, she never opened the door to him. All she wanted was to be left alone and not to be bothered by the God thing. Just leave me alone. And one day, God said to Edna and to many like her, okay, I will leave you alone. And to be left alone by God is what we would call hell on earth. And the reality is, the reason we don't get what hell is because we don't understand what hell is. I've heard for years, for decades, from people, even friends, oh, my friends are going to be in hell, and it's going to be one big party. Once again, I have another Greek theological term for you. Bull. You are so wrong. Hell's torment, number one. Many perceive heaven as the ultimate pleasure factory. Others perceive hell. You can put that there, too. They perceive hell as the ultimate pleasure factory. It's just a big frat party. You know? Oh, I'm going to heaven, so I got to get out of hell free card. In heaven, we're just going to play harps and surf on clouds. In hell, it's just going to be one big party with all my friends. Wrong. You're not even going to know anybody in hell, least of all your friends. Number two, heaven is about a relationship with God. It is where the will of God is fully demonstrated. Heaven's about God. It's about worshiping God. It is about serving God. It is about being fulfilled in your gifts, talents, and abilities. That's why we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," in the Lord's Prayer. It's about a relationship with heaven. With him. Heaven is living out eternity in a meaningful relationship with him. Number three, if you don't want a little God down here, why would you want a lot of God up there? Don't bother me down here. I'll just have a little bit of God. But then when you get to heaven, it's all God. Whoa, wait a minute. See, heaven is about a lot of God. It is God-centered. It is God-focused. There's no need for light or sun in heaven because Jesus is the light. The Bible tells us in Revelation 23, the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb of God, that's Jesus, is its light. Think about that. If you don't know him here, you'll not know him there. Number four, all the metaphors about hell are God simply giving people what they want, a life without him. People here on earth, put the brakes on. Say, I don't want you. They don't want you. Matthew 8:12, Jesus said, those for whom the kingdom was prepared will be thrown into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:50, throw the wicked into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22:13, bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay? Yes, literal lakes of fire, darkness, teeth gnashing, eternal punishment. But letter A tells us something here important. Outer darkness is a place where God's presence is not known. We think the world's corrupt and dark. Multiply that times a gazillion, and that's what hell is, even more. Okay? People who say, I just want to be left alone, like Aunt Edna in our illustration, I just want to be left alone without God. God is saying, I'm giving you exactly what you want. That's in hell. You don't want me? You got it. There you go, because I'm not there. Letter B, burning fires when someone's desires are unimpeded. That seems horrific and sadistic for us, but it's describing those who are getting the fulfillment of their desires. The key is in hell, there is no stopping people's desires. So they burn for more alcohol. They burn for more drugs. They burn for more money. They burn for more sex and pornography and all the sinful acts of the flesh of lying and cheating and murder and stealing. And they desire there, but their desire is never met. It can never be satisfied. It can never be quenched. And they burn from within because they can never be satisfied. But in heaven, you're satisfied. Why? Because God's there. Probably the anthem of hell is, I can't get no. I can't get no. Well, I'm riding in my car and I'm turning on the radio. I can't get no. No, no, no. Can't get no satisfaction. And he burned from within, desiring things. And it's never, ever satisfied. See, weeping and gnashing of teeth is living and knowing those desires will never fulfill you. Constant craving for more left unsatisfied. Y'all doing okay? Y'all going to heaven? Okay, good. See, I'm telling you this so you want to keep people from going there. There's no old style in hell. Least of all in heaven. There's none there either. Letter D. Do you have letter D? No? Okay. Hell was never created for man. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 25. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire, that's hell, prepared for who? The devil and his demons. He never created hell for us. He never created hell for humanity. He created hell for the devil and his demons. And there's a point in the Bible where it says hell had to be expanded. Why? Because Adam fell and people started dying and going to hell, and hell became populated with people. It was never God's intent for people to go to hell. He created heaven for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He created heaven for us, but he will allow people to choose. See, God didn't send Aunt Edna to heaven. She chose to. God doesn't send people to hell. She chose to. Man was always intended to have a relationship with God. God said, I created you. I intended for you to have a relationship with me. Wow. He never intended that any human being would actively choose to not have fellowship with him. He created us to have fellowship with him. 5, if people persist in wanting a life with a God, without God, he will honor their will and let them have it. Now one of the hard sayings of the Bible I'm going to read from Romans 1. But it's the truth, and I'm here to tell you the truth. Verse 24, so God abandoned them. These are human beings. It was just like in Noah's time. The world was just so full of sin, and he said, I regret it I ever made man. He regretted it. And he wiped it all out, Noah and his wife and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, his sons and their wives, and they started all over again. So here we are in Romans 1. This is New Testament times. This is 2,000 years ago. So God abandoned them. These were people who were so far out into sin. This so much describes our day and age today. This is speaking about America today. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desires. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of their sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Verse 28, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking. The King James says, reprobate mind, and let them do things that should never be done. Now, do you ever wonder why in this day and age today, and it's always been to a degree, but do you wonder why some people are so closed off to God and so open to sin? Sometimes it's because of the attitudes of Christians towards them. Because Christians condemn them and slam the door in their face with their words and their deeds and their actions. But for many today, it's because their mind is reprobate. A reprobate mind is a mind that is given over to sinful passions and ungodly desires. It is another way of describing a person who is set on satisfying the flesh and not on the Spirit of God. It is a person who rejects God and does what is self-serving instead of what it is that God desires in their life. Therefore, someone who is reprobate is under the condemnation of God. Such a person does not attend church, does not care at least about the things of God, does not read the word and probably mocks it, and does not pray. They are judged by God and are under condemnation, so they have no conviction of their sin any longer, or they have no desire for God. They are reprobate. Black is white, wrong is right, right is wrong. It was never God's intention for humans to live like that. It was never God's intention or desire to not have a relationship with humanity. God the Father, letter A, will let people have what they want, a life without him. You got it. That's what you want? You can have it. Letter B, he sent his son so that they could have a life with him. That's why he sent Jesus. so we can know life. I'm going to close here. Every person here and every one of you watching online as well, you have to decide what you believe. You have to decide your worldview, whether it's going to be a Christian worldview or if you're going to just mix in some of this worldly junk that I talked about and you just kind of sway back around because you don't want to make anybody upset. I'm here to tell you, if you're going to stand with a Christian worldview, you will upset some people. You're going to upset lots of people, not just some. What does your heart say? Here's a lie to defeat. Good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. Wrong. The reality is rejecting or accepting Jesus as Lord determines your destiny. We should rejoice because our names are registered in the book of life in heaven. That's why we should rejoice, is because we've come to know Jesus as our Savior and Lord. I want to say this right now before we bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to look you in the eye and say this. Here's how you go to heaven. The first step is faith in Christ, and then you grow from there. The Bible says that if you'll believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and most of you here today probably see it. You're watching online. You wouldn't be watching this if you didn't entertain that thought. But I'm here to tell you it's a historical fact that Jesus Christ, a man named Jesus of Nazareth, died on the cross in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. He was executed by the Romans, and he died a sinner's death between two thieves, and he was buried. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead. The stone rolled away. He came forth triumphant over death, hell, and the grave after he went down into Hades. Took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from him, gave him a good kick in the stomach, and said, I win. And then he led captivity captive, the Old Testament saints that were in Abraham's bosom, and they marched out of there. He took them to heaven, then he came back to earth, his spirit and soul, and he took his body out of the grave, knocked the stone away, and come marching out. Triumphant. He was in the Jerusalem Walmart. He was walking around Jerusalem for 40 days, and the people who had him executed saw him. And they saw that the man they had put to death was now alive. And he put asunder all the lies that had been spoken about him, and he rose triumphant. If you believe God raised Jesus from the dead, you're halfway home. Then there's a second step you have to take. Then it says that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That means with your mouth you make a confession. It's just like when you walk into a polling place and you say to the judge, Democrat. Or you walk in and you say, Republican. You've just located yourself. You put a flag in the ground. That's why I don't vote in primaries. Fine, that's your choice. But when you put a flag in the ground, you've located yourself. When you stand up and you say, Jesus, you're my Lord, you're serving notice on heaven, God in heaven, the angels, the demons, and the devil in hell, who you serve, whose team you on. Okay? When I walked into the stadium in Cleveland in 2016 to the Game 7 of the World Series wearing my Cubs cap and my Cubs shirt, I was letting people know who I was for. And there were 15,000 of us cheering for the Cubs. There were 23,000 of them cheering for the Indians. And we were at war that night. You locate yourself by the cap you wear, the jersey you wear, who you're for. When you confess Christ is Lord, you've located yourself. And then the Spirit of Almighty God will come on the inside of you and change you in a moment, in an instant of time. And then your ticket for heaven is punched. Now you're a new creation in Christ. Now you need to get baptized in water. You need to start discipling yourself and getting into the Word. We can help you with our growth track there. But that's where you start. If you're here watching online and you've never prayed to receive Jesus, you can pray with me right now. Or you may have walked away from your faith in Christ for whatever reason, and you need to come home and recommit your life to the Lord. If that's you, I want to pray with you now too. Let's all pray together. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Those watching online, you pray right where you're at. There are people watching on their phone, on their computer, on their television. Right now, you pray with us. Right now, just bow your head, close your eyes. Pray with us. Say, Dear God in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the grave and he's alive today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I want to live for you who died for me. And from this day forward, regardless of what comes. I'm going to serve Jesus Christ all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But before we close, I'm going to turn over to Pastor Terry. One more thing I want to give you. I want you to look there on the back of your outlines. Do you have? I think you have it here on the screen as well. Here's some things getting ready for back to church weekend. My great friend in the ministry, Tony Cook, one of my teachers at Rhema, he's preaching in Brazil right now to thousands of people. They're just hungry in Brazil for the gospel. He gave me these two quotes. Martin Luther said, "It is the duty of every Christian to be Christ to his neighbor." That's your family, your friends, your coworkers, people you go to school with. It is your duty to be Christ to them. And then secondly, Catherine Franklin said, if you can't be a good example, that means if you cannot live your life in a Christ-like way that will draw people to Jesus, if you can't be a good example, then you'll just have to be a horrible warning. Be the good example. Get on board with God. Start learning and growing in Him. Doesn't mean you're perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm your pastor. Am I perfect?
No.
See? None of us are perfect. So here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to be a Katie. Remember the video? Katie invited the young man over. You sit at our table. You're opening your heart to somebody. You're opening your hand to somebody. Preparing for back to church weekend. Number one, pursue one unchurched person and become the best friend they've ever had. Buy them a coffee. Take them to lunch. Be their friend. And then number two, reach one person every day with a random act of kindness. When you're in McDonald's drive-thru getting your coffee, pay for the person behind you. Do a random act of kindness. Go into a laundromat with a bunch of quarters and you see a single mom and buy her detergent and her loads of laundry. Just do something. Random act of kindness. Three, minister to one person every week you attend church. That means here. You come to church, you go find somebody, they're going over to get a pastry, a cookie, a donut or something, some coffee. Say, hey, come sit with me and just talk to them. You see somebody maybe here by themselves, just go talk to them. Be a friend to them. Reach out to them. Hey, how long have you been attending? Can I pray with you? Is there anything you need? Maybe you can't meet it, but hey, let's go talk to Pastor Scott, Pastor Terry, or one of the leaders, and we can help meet a need. Four, bring one new person to church every month. Well, I'm not really good at that. Well, we need to start working on it. You know, some of you were never a good cook, and then after you, as you were getting older, I'd like to start learning how to cook Italian. I'd like to start to cook this kind of food. And you start becoming proficient at it. Why? Because you applied yourself. Guess what you need to apply yourself to? Your faith. Bring one new person to church every month. And then the last one, lead one person to Jesus every year and get them on the growth track. That means not bring them to church. That means you talk to them about Jesus. You pray with them just like, you know what to pray with them. You pray it with me every week. You've got it tattooed in your head. I get the youth sitting over here sometimes, and they're sitting there staying it with me. They know the prayer. It's not magic. It's just the word. And you can pray with somebody to receive Jesus. And let me tell you something. You lead somebody to Jesus, meow. I'm telling you. All right.
I'm going to have you stay here just for a second. Okay. So Pastor Scott asked you to pray the prayer today to ask Jesus in your heart or rededicate your life. So what I want to do is I want you to be bold. Pastor Scott said that when you do that, you locate yourself. So today, by praying that prayer, you have located yourself as a Christian. And one thing that you know now is you are never alone. You have Jesus with you always, and you have a family, a tribe of people, a community that will stand with you and help you.
I like
you.
That.
Yep, a tribe to help you make it through life, because you cannot make it through some difficult things without those people helping you through. So today, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you rededicated your life, you said, hey, I'm back in, or today you asked Jesus Christ into your life for the first time, I want you to publicly identify yourself today and put your hand up. I have ushers that are in the aisles that have for you packets. So ushers, FYI, get the packets. They're over in that corner. They're packets, and they say your journey, how to start your journey with Christ. So anybody here, you prayed that prayer today, and you need a packet. It's to help you. Here's a person over here. Ushers, yay, get that person.
Yay.
Praise Jesus. Let's get it. All right, I need a packet for that person. Amen. Get some other ones. Anybody else that you rededicated your life, you said that prayer today from your heart. Amen. The Bible says if one person among us does it, there is a party in heaven, for that person is now rescued from hell, and they are spending eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's rejoice over that again. Praise God. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing all this, is because we are believing for people to have transformed lives. Amen? This week, I was had extra time to read, Pastor Scott and I did, and I was reading about a testimony that this man had lived a sinful life. He was a very predominant person in Hollywood, an upper echelon, been to all the parties, all the people, had all the stuff and the champagne, and he's in Paris, and he's looking around, and he said, "Is this it?" Just like Edna.
Yep.
"Is this it to my life? I'm at the top. I'm at the pinnacle." He walks into a Starbucks one day. He sees a group of people hanging out at Starbucks, drinking their coffee, having a Bible study. They look up. Their eyes meet. He says, "You guys got Bibles?" And they're like, "Yeah." And they were bold enough to say and ask him the question, like, "Katie, do you want to come to church?" And he said, I just said yes without thinking. And he walked into a church in L.A., Reality Church. He walked into that church, and he said, "Oh, dear God, they're playing Christian music. I hate Christian music." And he walked in, and he goes, "Oh, dear God, they're playing music for like an hour. This is torture." But as soon as the pastor came up, he said he sat on the edge of his seat, and he heard about Jesus. He heard about heaven. He heard about hell. And he said, "I said yes to Jesus." And he was completely transformed, changed from the inside out. His addictions were broken. He walked out and he said he left the old man and he never went back to his sinful ways. And today he is a living testimony to those people around him in Hollywood of the transformation power of Jesus Christ. He is an amazing person. Amen. And I'm just getting to realize his testimony. But that's what God wants to do through you by saying, "Hey, do you want to go to church with me? Hey, do you know Jesus?" If you don't know what to do, out at guest services of the little packet, it's called Step to Peace with God by Billy Graham, a man who led more people to Jesus than a lot of people that we ever know. And there's a little track out there that you can take. And yep. If you're scared, you just say, "Hey, read this track. I'll put my number on the back. Call me after you're done reading the track, and I'll talk to you about it." You know, the thing is that I was a shy person, but you know what changed me? Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it gives you the power to be a witness, to open up your mouth and say, "Dear God, I don't want you to go to hell. So I'm going to open my mouth and risk being rejected to make sure that you could spend eternity in heaven." Amen?
Yep.
So that's what we're about, and that's what Back to Church is. Yeah, we're going to have fun. We're going to have food, whatever else. But you know what our mission is this year? To get the lost and see them saved. Amen?
And give them hope.
And give them hope. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, thanks, Pastor Scott.
I can leave
you
now?
You can leave now.
All right.
All right.
She's so cute when she preaches.
I get fired up. You can tell, see? That's the benefit of going to the mountaintop. It gives Pastor Scott and I time to get re-energized and refocused and refreshed. And that's why we go away, so that we're tanked back up so we can pour back into you. Amen? So thank you. Thank you for working during the week and taking care of things so that we had that opportunity to go and be with Jesus so we get our tanks filled back up. All right, we're going to receive our offering. Our offering is a way that we continue to fulfill the mission of Christ. When you give, God said that he will take that money and we will use it to see hope brought into our community. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today that we are giving here in person. Maybe we've texted our gift in today. Maybe we've given online. Maybe we mailed it in. It doesn't matter. We are giving from a cheerful heart, Father God, to see your kingdom expanded. And we thank you that you would in return bring that blessing back to us like every way, Father, as we cast our bread, we cast our offering on those waters. It comes back to us so that we can use it for our needs and then give back out. We thank you, Father, that every person in this building is blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, you can receive our offering. Let me just remind you of a few things. If you're a guest, don't forget to stop back out at guest services. We have stuff for you out there. Hey, if you are a 6th through 12th grader, God is moving miraculously on Wednesday nights here at Abiding Word with Pastor Nathan and Bethany. And so you're 6th through 12th grader. Remember, parents, you're in charge. You tell them you're going to youth. You know what? You saw my girls up here. See, it didn't matter that I made them go to youth. Now they can stand on a platform and testify to Jesus. And it wasn't just me. It was Jesus in them. So you make your kids go to youth. Why? Because then that's your responsibility. If they want to do something with it afterwards, then that's their call. So 6 o'clock, the doors open 6:30 p.m. There is a life-giving message for you youth that will change them forever. Amen. And don't forget Kids Quest out in the guest services. You can pick up the application. And then lastly, we have a group that's going to Mexico Missions again. That will be having a rummage sale the 6th and 7th of September. And so we are accepting donations for that starting Tuesday the 3rd through Thursday the 5th. If you have any questions about that, you can see Debbie Mills about the Mexico Missions rummage sale. The information's on the website. The information's on a little handout out at guest services. All right, well, I'm fired up and could preach for like another 2 hours, you know, because Pastor Scott's sermon just fired me up, amen. Doesn't it stir you up to say, dear Jesus, we need to go win the lost, amen? So go ahead and stand up with me. Let's make this confession as we stand up today. All right, say, Jesus, give me the boldness. Open my mouth. And win people for Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Help me be eternity-minded, filled with your power, reminded I am righteous, walking in your grace, walking in your mercy, and always, every day, loving people all the time. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll go find somebody. Give them a hug. Say hello. Give them a high five. We'll see you out in the lobby.